Share God's word with you this morning, and I'm going to speak for a moment, and then Paul Dunn has got to come up and give a word of testimony, then I'll finish my sermon. It's just slightly different this morning, but I just remembered his story as I was preparing, and so I sort of landed a minute and says it would be good if you could share. Didn't give him no notice, just told him that's more but good. It's funny because he started singing a song about let us testify, so I thought he's singing let us testify, and you've got to testify. The title of this message is Hope in Unfamiliar Places. A bit of a strange word. Concerning the theme of the church for the last weeks, if you haven't been here, it's about victory. It's been about power. It's been about really God getting results in our lives. And I was just thinking this week, well, I'll tell you what actually happened. Has anybody ever been in a bad mood before? Like husbands, now look at your wife's at this point because I end up with a black eye. It maybe comes from nowhere, isn't it? Just like you just find yourself, you're just in a bad mood, and your spiritual friend would say it's a devil. Your doctor would maybe say it's something physical. Your personal trainer would say it's lack of exercise. Your psychologist would say it's a mental blockage. There'll be so much different opinions. Your stylist would say it's because you need to dress yourself better and get more clothes. Your hairdresser would say you need a haircut. It's just, but sometimes nutritionist would say it's because of your putting in your body and eating. It's making you feel and just in a bad mood scenario. So I found myself this week, and sometimes I was answers to be found in that. Sometimes it's one of them things, sometimes it's all of the above, and sometimes it's neither or anything. It's just no reason, but you find yourself, dear me, I'm in a bad mood. And on Monday afternoon, like, church was really good on Sunday to hear people testify in the evening. Stevie and Sharon testified that God was doing in their lives on Sunday evening. Sunday morning was amazing as well with the baptismals and testimonies again. And had a leaders meeting on Monday morning. Maybe that was the cause. Only joking. It was a really good leaders meeting. But Monday afternoon, and before the prayer meeting, I just found myself in a bad mood. Like, for no apparent reason, it was nothing Isabel had done, just to clarify. And the kids was asking continual quick questions, which I can usually cope with. But when you're in that frame of mind, I just thought, came from you kind of make yourself feel happy. Was it just me? Am I this strange? Just saying, I want to feel good. And I came that God's a God of joy, unending happiness and love and compassion. Church was going well, getting new people coming, baptismal services, people testifying for God has done. But yet, on a Monday afternoon, I find myself kind of shocked, a bad mood. And I was glad I wasn't there on the prayer meeting. Sarah was on the prayer meeting Monday evening. I thought, I'm not really in the right frame of mind. Well, anyway, I went to the prayer meeting and I started reading Psalm 42. And I'm so glad that when God sort of influenced the writing of the truth of the Bible, that he made it so we can make a connection with it, however we are feeling. It is not just a book about happiness and everything's got to be happy. It's a book of real people, real stories, real heartache, real pain, real grief, real people that need a real God. And so I found myself in Psalm 42. And if you start reading Psalm 42, many will be familiar with it, especially the older generation, not just because it's a wonderful psalm, but it starts with, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after you. If I could had a tune, I would sing the song, but that's in my area of gifting. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. And if that's how you came about that psalm, and I said, what do you think comes next? You'd maybe be forgiven to think, well, it's a wonderful start. Like, as the deer pants for water, so my soul thirsts after you. If I was to guess how it would go on, I'd probably think, oh, and I find you in the desert place, and now my life is full of joy as a deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after you, and when I seek you, I find you in desert places, and now my life is full of happiness and joy and smelling of roses. It's not how it continues. And actually, you see, as it continues, The guy is actually in a desperate place. He's in a state of abandonment, and you get this thing, or he's got a heart of desperation. He's like, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after you. And if you were to see a deer panting for water, the same way if you went for a while without water for 3 days, you would find yourself in a place of desperation. Maybe a moment with a desperate heart. And this is the context of the scripture. You put music to it and it sounds wonderful. As a deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after you. But in the context of Psalm 42, we see that this guy is in an unfamiliar place. He's feeling abandonment and he's looking for hope, but he finds it in an unfamiliar place. Let me read it. Psalm 42. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. A great question, when can I go and stand before him? When can I go and meet with my God? But then it changes very, very quickly. But day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? Where is this God of yours? The onlooker's question. The psalmist knew God. The psalmist had that spiritual connection with God, yet he found himself in a position. And I'm sure he had testified, oh God, his friends and the nation round about him. But yet he found himself in a position that the onlookers would say, see that good, good father you sing about, that you're coming bouncing in here in the workplace you sing about. Where is he today? Well, you're in a moment of heartache, a moment of loss, a moment of transition. One of the secrets of Christianity is to find hope in unfamiliar places, to realize that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord. But doesn't it say just all circumstances will be good? It says it will work out good. So you're either in the process of it working good or it's worked good for you. But how many in here that's been a Christian a while, sometimes stuff doesn't work out the way you want? Has that ever happened to anybody? And you have testified that God is good. And you know he's a loving father. And you know he's the Alpha and Omega, knows the beginning for the end. And you know he's your rock and he holds you in the palm of his hand. And you have testified to his goodness and grace to your family and to your friends. But suddenly you find yourself in a circumstance the onlookers would question, oh, if God is so good and he answers your prayers, and he loves you so much, and he causes you to prosper, far is he from you around that moment? It's the onlooker's question. I'm just going to invite Paul Dunn up at this point. Let's hear it for Paul. The reason I'm asking Paul, oh, you can say hello if you want.
Hello.
You go.
Hello, everyone. I think it's on. Hi.
The reason I'm asking Paul is he went through about a heartbreaking scenario that him and Anna had to work through. I can, through Dean, we used to do groups in here, that Paul would witness a God's goodness, and people would ask about Scar, have you been doing it weekend? And he'd say, he'd been going to church, why'd you go to church? That's a lot of his face. But then he went through a bit of a scenario. So, Paul, describe to us before if it happened. So how did your time at Score come to an end?
Well, it was just a matter of one day that I was in work, 10 o'clock, and working at my desk, went for my break, and then my manager came in and he says, here, look, Paul, can I see you for a minute? I'm like, yeah, it's no problem. So I went in and walked into a room with a member of HR there and my manager. I thought, oh, this isn't quite good, is it? And so he sat me down and he says, look, Paul, your job's at risk of redundancy. We'll try and get you something within the company. But just to let you know that your job is it's going to be diminished, really. So, you know, and I was kind of it. So I was like, right, okay. I'll just tell a story from right back from the beginning. Basically, you know, when I say I was working at Score, it was a great job, really enjoyed it. But I would have said it wasn't really fulfilling, you know, it wasn't a real kind of, it was a job, that's all it was really. I like to kind of have a purpose within what I do. I'd been there for, 5 years. I'd worked in one part of the company, and then I'd moved to another section of the company. And it was good, but like I said, it was just a job to me. Basically what happened was, I'm trying to think what I can go back to. So me and my wife, Anna, for those who don't know, me and my wife, Anna, we were speaking one night, and you know, every 6 months we would have this conversation. I'm not happy, you know what I mean? I'm kind of, you know, if I was to go back to education again, I would take up joinery. But I thought, you know, I'm 30, and I'm like, what's the chances of that ever happening again? Like, you know what I mean? But I just kind of forgot about it. So then we were having, it was probably back in October 2017, and we had a moment downstairs, a meeting downstairs, and we're just praying together. And it was a really good night. And we got home, and Sarah Cow texted Anna, saying, here, look, Paul, or look, Anna, I had a word for Paul tonight. And I forgot to tell him, but I think it was really important. And it was basically that God's taken Paul on a journey, however it's going to turn. And it's maybe something that he never thought would have turned, but God's in it. And I thought, I wonder what that could be like. Yeah, I totally forgot about the whole job thing, but I was like, oh, that's good. You mean that's nice. So then it was the next morning. It was actually the next morning. That was Sunday night. Monday was whenever I said I got made redundant. So whenever I speak about being in Score, like I said, like Kevin was saying, I was into people saying, you know, what were you at the weekend? And I would have been like, yeah, you know, it's a church on Sunday. And maybe, you know, some folk would have totally ignored it. And some folk would have tried to argue the fact that it was a waste of time that I was going to church, you mean? But I was, you know, strong in what I said and answered any questions that they had. So I don't know what, you know, I really didn't have much conversation when I actually got made redundant to what they must think. You know, they must have thought, here, I'd done him the world of good. You mean the fact that there he was at his job and then now he doesn't have one. Some God that he's got, you mean? But little did they know that what would then would take place. So the Sunday night, sorry, this is a long story. On Sunday night, I went to bed. Monday morning, got made redundant. And let's be real, like, I was stressed out. they actually said to me, here, Paul, look, you can go home if you want. I guess I understand this news is quite hard to take. And I was like, I was car sharing at that day, I think it was. And I said to them, here, look, I'll just work the rest of the day and I'll see how I feel. And they're like, oh, no, I think you better go home like this. So they ushered me actually out of the building thinking it was going to sabotage something. But so they actually ushered me out. But I was stressed, got home, freaking out. I was like, I've got bills to pay here. And I was like, you know, like you do, I was greeting. I was like, what do I do? Anna didn't know yet, she was still working. This was in the morning as well. I'm thinking I had all day to think about this. So straight on the laptop looking at jobs, I was freaking out. So thankfully, when I told Anna was then, if anyone knows Anna, Anna's quite, gonna be quite stressed at times, and I'm pretty chilled. But we totally did a whole reversal. Like, I was stressed to the hilt, and she was like, "Oh no, mind what Sarah said." And I was like, "Oh, why? God's gonna in the midst of the journey." I was like, "Aye, yeah, let's be real." I was stressed, still stressed out, but I had to really think, "Aye, God is in the midst of this journey. 2 weeks later, I get a text. While I've been going for interviews, I get a text from Nathan Ritchie saying, here, Paul, are you doing anything tomorrow? And I says, well, just on the laptop, still looking for jobs and probably interviews. And he says, oh, well, we're ripping out carpets out at Stricken. If you're not doing anything, you easily come along and help, give us a hand. And I says, aye, why not? Aye. So I went out, and then Paul then spoke to me and said, look, what's your story? What's basically happening? And I told him, I'm still looking for jobs, and he was thankful enough, and I was thankful to the fact that he was going to give me work until I found something. But then, as you kind of, some of you know, that's been a year and a half now, and I've been working with Paul, and I've been working with John Stewart in joinery. So it's just bizarre, like, how God works. Like a song I sang, all my life, God's been faithful. And, like, even some of you know my dad's a pastor, and we've been everywhere, like Northern Ireland, England, and it's a crazy thing moving house and trying to meet new people and getting new jobs and all that kind of stuff. But God's been through everything, even though it doesn't feel it at the time, but at the very end, you know what God is with me, and he is with you as well.
Amen. Thanks, Paul. Why did I get him to share that? Because we could easily fall into the trap of believing that the Christian doesn't go through heartache. And if we preach victory every week, we could easily fall into the thing, or in a workplace scenario like that, it would be easy to preach that like the Israelites in Goshen and Egypt, that they were the only ones protected. It would be easy to preach that the Christian would keep his job and the heathen would be dismissed because he is God and God's got his back, and other people didn't have that favor upon their lives. But the reality is, sometimes the Christian gets the news that the other people didn't want to get. And sometimes it happens to the Christian that has told his workmates about this God that he serves and loves. But you can find hope in unfamiliar places if you see the big picture. And thank God for the prophetic word that Sarah gave. And thank God for the wisdom of Paul and Anna. But this is what this guy was gone through in the Psalms. He says that onlookers are saying, where is your God? And his workmates, where is your God? Where is he? This God that is so good, but we can find God in the midst of our pain, God in the midst of our suffering, God in the midst of our hopeful promotions but demotions. And we see here, and you've heard from Paul, that God is in the process, but it's a difficult thing to confront when you're face to face with the people you have testified to that God has a plan for your life, and they've now got a little right to say, well, far is he then? Game on. The onlooker's question, it's a hard thing to face, and I'm sure some of you in here could tell your own stories about going through stuff like that in your life, but you can, that God is faithful, but you haven't got the answer that you was wanting. There was another question he faced, and it was a question of the past. Verse 4, my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshippers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. My heart breaks as I remember how it used to be. We can look back and say that God is faithful and he has took us so far, but sometimes looking back and remembering how great things were is still not a solution for a bad mood today. Because the psalmist says, my heart breaks when I remember how good it used to be. When I used to lead worship and lead a procession and I was there with God's people, my heart breaks because it used to be so good. But today I feel abandoned. Today I feel alone. And when I look back, it doesn't encourage me. When I look back, I remember how good it used to be. And my heart breaks. And some of us would look back and say, how good it used to be. I've been through stuff like that myself. It was great Sunday night to hear people speak about house churches, speak about how they're making connections, and Stevie and Sharon. Stevie speaking about who he was learning for the, what's the older generation, the more mature Christian generation, and he was gleaning for their stories. And as Davey read out that poem, or how he portrayed my journey had been and all that, I started to recall the story and what me, Isabel, leadership team had went through, and some of the worship team as well, well, mine and us, that we used to prepare well for the 6 o'clock service, didn't we? And we used to turn up and we used to put out the seats, but it just wasn't working. Something wasn't working. Then we'd see numbers go. It used to be one of our main services, and we used to be packed out with youth, and used to have about 80 on a Sunday evening, but then it went down to 20, 30. Once you've lost momentum like that, it's very, very difficult to get it back up. And you imagine, I was just sort of a new-ish pastor, felt he could preach, and you prepared well for a gospel service. And you turn up and you pray and you pray and you pray, and the worship team is what they've always been, is amazing. And you're preaching the gospel to 20, 30 people that's already saved. It's a tough gig. And you used to go home, and I remember how it used to be. I remember when it was full of young people. I remember when we had Ready at Dance. I remember how great things used to be in the gospel service. My heart breaks. Because faith has been wrong. Is it me? Is it the way I've navigated things? Oh, the way it used to be was great, but it didn't help my heart. When you're faced with the question of the past, faith has been wrong. Maybe some of you can relate. I remember how good our family used to be. I could remember the good old days. I could remember the past, but it breaks my heart because things have changed and I find myself there in a lonely place. But what I tell you, God has not abandoned you if you feel like that. You've got to see Him in the process. You can find hope in unfamiliar places. Because if we hadn't went through that as a fellowship, we wouldn't have got serious on discipleship, wouldn't have got serious on house churches, we wouldn't have got serious on connections, we wouldn't have changed things. And if it had always remained just 50 coming every week, and they might have been saved and would have preached the gospel, would have still said, I was a fine meeting. But God's looking for something better than just a fine meeting. And sometimes God will use situations in such a way that you might feel like a failure and looking back, oh, it was so much better. But you need to see that in that moment, He is with you. And you can find hope in unfamiliar places. And the place He wants to get you to, He can only get you to through a change of circumstance. And if the cost for that is disappointment, He's going to get you through it. Because even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with me. Maybe you find that things are just not working out as you hope, and you look back to the good old days. You've got a bright future in Jesus Christ if you will choose to put your trust in Him. He said, my heart breaks when I recall the former things. And then He goes on. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. And then it goes on again. I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Hope in unfamiliar places, even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. Each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs. You see the battle back and forth. I'm discouraged, but there's hope. I'm discouraged, but there's hope. His waves are crashing over me, but his love is unfailing towards me. I pray to the God who gives me life. Oh God, my rock, I cry. Why have you forgotten me? Do you ever feel like that? Why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts, they break my bones, they scoff. Where is this God of yours? He mentions it again. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? The last question is a question to ourselves. When you're in a bad mood, when you feel like I did on Monday afternoon, but maybe your trials is greater than my trials, maybe they're smaller than my trials. But the psalmist asks himself a direct question: why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Why am I so disturbed? I want to feel hope, but I feel hopeless. I want to be made well and pain-free, but I find myself on my sick bed crying out for pain. I was looking for marriage and love, but I'm discouraged because I got dumped. I was looking for some friends I could call family, but they stabbed me in the back. Why am I so discouraged? Why do I feel so let down? I thought I was going to get a promotion. But I got a demotion. I thought God was going to prosper, man. I was going to be lauded. I find myself being short every month. Why am I so discouraged? Why am I so downcast? Why does my heart break? Oh, I want to tell you, you can find hope in unfamiliar places. Because the psalmist says this: why am I discouraged? Why am I so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will put my hope in God. You might have been discouraged through circumstances. I want you to leave here declaring, I will put my hope in God. My hope is not in score. My hope is in God. My hope is not in finding the love of my life and being looked after. My hope is in God. He is my rock. He is my salvation. My life hope is not in my bank balance. It is in. It's in God. You can find hope in unfamiliar places if you would say this: my hope is in God. I'm unshakable because he's unshakable. You need to ask yourself a question: why am I discouraged? Why am I downcast? My hope is in God. He's nay in the doctor's report. It's nay in the doctor's report. Hope is in God. Why? Because he is faithful, he is true, he is just. He knows the beginning and the end. He is in the process. He's in the circumstance. One of the biggest mistakes Christians can make is turning their back on Jesus when things are not gone well. It's easy on the mountaintop to put your hope in God. If I was to say to you, close your eyes and think of picture in your mind somebody that puts their hope in God, you'd think as somebody full of the radiance of the glory of Jesus Christ. Somebody that is prospering in every avenue that they find themselves in. Somebody that their kids are coming and prophesying. And everything's going well. They're driving the best cars. They're in the best streets. And that's somebody that puts their hope in God. And if I was to say, you close your eyes and think of somebody that has lost hope in God. Somebody with a countenance downcast, a heart that is breaking. lost everything. Lost her job, lost everything. You say, that's a picture of somebody that's lost our hope. Nay, so. It's a false picture. You can be as putting hope and trust in God in the valley when you have lost everything. When Abdi's walked out in you, when your friends don't want to speak to you, when you've lost your loved one, when your heart breaks, when you find yourself in the valley, when you're scratching at the surface of something and you're looking and flicking through this Bible trying to make sense of your life and you find nothing, but yet you would say at that point, I have lost everything, but my hope is in God. That's the picture of hope. Maybe the guy prancing about with everything isn't really hoping God. It's for you got a self-made man. Beware of the picture we have of it putting hope in God really looks like. And we hope for the miracles and we hope for the prosperity and we hope that God taking us for glory looks like miracles, signs and wonders and deliverance. But beware that that's not your only picture of it putting hope in God really looks like. And sometimes it's found in the murkiest, darkest places, in the recesses of our soul, that would just cry out in the middle of the night, I have no answers. I'll look back and see how amazing it was. I have no answers for the day's problems, but my hope is in God. And as I was in a prayer meeting on Monday evening, just reading this, I have no lost a thing. I'm in a good place. My hope is in God. And then it goes on, lastly. I'm going to invite a worship band to come up. We're going to end with just a song of praise. The Christian's testimony is that there's hope in unfamiliar places. And he can take your ashes and turn it into something beautiful. Jesus never says that it's the easy road to follow him. He said it's a narrow road. Few find it. Few find it because some people are just looking for hope. And then I got a full revelation of what hope looks like. Is it okay to preach like this? Or you just want me to tell you everything will be okay? And your misery is your fault. You've got to see God in the process. He's there. In the midst, it says he's the hope of the nations. And we are the hope of glory living inside us. It's a real hope. It's a living hope. It's a hope. In the midst of pain, we can say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I don't care if it tomorrow looks like it. I can if tomorrow I'll have enough money in the bank to pay the bills. I can if tomorrow will bring my success or failure. But Job says, though he slays me, and I lost everything, I will put my trust in him. That is a picture of hope. I will put my hope in God. And then it ends with this, a fitting end to the service. And I will praise him again, my God and my Savior. He's in a place of abandonment. He looks back and says, I wish I could go back to that when I was leading worship in the midst of the assembly. The presence of Jesus was there, but I didn't really feel him today. And he asks himself the question, why am I so downcast and discouraged? I will put my hope in God. And I will praise him again because he is my God and he is my Savior. And he is worthy to be worshipped. And I found myself going into the prayer meeting on Monday in a bad mood. I thought, I will praise him again. The devil maybe got my afternoon, but he's not got my for eternity. The devil maybe gets you for a few days and you're discouraged and downcast, but he's not got my for eternity. The devil may be able to beat you up and try and snuff you, but you are in the palm of the hands of Jesus, my rock and my Savior. And the psalmist says, hey, wake up, soul. Wake up, spirit. I will praise him again. And when I read that on Monday night, I thought, I'm just going to praise. And Emily, she was with me. She was laughing because I kind of sing. And she came home and said, Dad, I was laughing at you the night. I said, why? Because you really kind of sing, and you were singing pretty loud. I will praise again, even if it makes people laugh. People, you've came here you've heard some words. You maybe found yourself in a difficult place or a brilliant place. Put your hope in God and praise Him again. Don't let the enemy steal your tongue. Just praise Him again. You maybe didn't feel like it, circumstances are who are you? Praise Him again. Just praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him with a tambourine. Praise Him with the harp. Praise Him with the lyre. Praise Him with a loud voice. Praise Him with joy. Let everything, all creation, praise His holy name. Let angels praise Him. Nay, praise Him when you feel good. Praise Him when you feel delighted. Praise Him when everything's gone your way. It just says we've got to praise Him again. And maybe this morning, right in the service, you need to just come with a shout of praise. I'm going to praise Him again because He is worthy. Because He is God. Because He is your rock and He is your Savior. You can come and praise Him again and you just shut up praising God. And you may have questions about the past, questions about the day and fears for tomorrow. But you got to have to come and you got to praise Him again. And you've praised Him before and that didn't make you feel better. You got to have to praise Him again. Because He's worthy. And because He is God and He loves you so much. And He doesn't want you to miss Him out in the process or your pain. Let's stand in His presence. We've got to finish the service. But I want to encourage you. Find hope in unfamiliar places. It's easy to find hope in familiar places like good stuff happening and miracles happening. It's easy to find hope there. But this morning, would you find hope in an unfamiliar place, whatever you are gone through, whatever discouragement you face? And if you look back and say, my history seems so much better than I feel my destiny is going to be. But you raise up your shout of joy, a shout of praise, a declaration that will reach heavenly places and tell the powers and principalities of darkness that I am here to put my hope in Jesus. And through gritted teeth and through nothing is coming against you, my God still declares, if He is for us, who can be against us? And He will give us everything so we can stand in the faith. And sometimes you have just got to stand in the faith. You don't need to rush ahead. You don't need to look back. Maybe you just need to do the days. Just stand in faith. And just stand through gritted teeth sometimes and just say, I put my hope in God. And I will praise Him yet again. As the band begins to play, let's release a voice, let's release a shout, let's release a cup of praise. I'll praise Him yet again.